Ephesians chapter 2. Go back to the text that I started with this series. I don't know how many this has been so far. Now, I won't say we're halfway through, but we're now starting on the other half. Ephesians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." That's the whole thing, is the gift of God.
Amen.
Not just one portion or one part. Mason, it's not even the majority part is the gift of God.
Yeah.
It's not the majority part.
No.
It's all of it.
Yeah.
Is the gift
Amen.
Of God. Not of works. That is, not of any kind of works.
Exactly.
Not of any human effort whatsoever. Because faith, even and even its active form, that is believing, is not of human effort.
Yes.
Believing is by the power of God. It's by grace. Not of works. And why? Here is the reason why. Lest any man should boast.
Yes.
Because God will have no one boast before him.
Amen.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And then, and here's the point I want to start to begin dealing with. I've already kind of dealt with, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. But we're created in Christ Jesus for a purpose.
Yes.
There is reason here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, we live in a time in which the truth, and when I say truth, I mean just truth, singular truth, not
yes,
truths.
Sir.
And not just facts, but truth. Mm-hmm. We live in a time in which truth is not only beyond the grasp of men because of natural depravity.
Yeah.
Now, you understand what I just said?
Yes, sir.
Not only, but let me stop and go back now and say, let me add to this, truth is beyond the grasp of men because of natural depravity.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now, automatically, let me go to another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, let me say this, that I will not get into the text of Ephesians 2 verse 10 this morning, but I want to lay a foundation, or at least try to lay a foundation before we go into this, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we live in a time in which truth is not only beyond the grasp of men because of natural depravity. And as I said, let me stop and go back now and add, truth is beyond the grasp of men because of our depravity.
Amen.
Now, when I say depravity, let me explain what I mean in light of what the Scripture says.
Yes.
Because that's what matters. When I talk about natural depravity, it is that inner inability of men to discern truth.
Amen.
Natural depravity, when you say depravity, when I say depravity, there's a part of our mind that automatically goes to this word, immorality.
Yeah. You're right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We say, and the world uses the word depravity.
Oh yeah.
They may even use other language, which would even say that at least some men, maybe not all of us, but at least some men are totally depraved.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And they will point out certain individuals. Child molesters.
Yeah.
You know? Serial rapists. Serial murderers. Mass murderers. You know? And as though these people are beyond the pale of us. No, these people are us.
Exactly.
Now, let me say that right up front. Yeah. These people are us.
Yeah.
And apart from God Almighty's restraining providence, there goes you and there goes me.
Exactly.
And this could go on this tape and it could go out on the internet. It could go wherever. I must stand by this truth. that were it not for the restraining providence of God, I would have been at Sandy Hook. And you can mark, you would have been the perpetrator. I would have been the perpetrator at Sandy Hook Elementary School.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But most people think human depravity, natural depravity, total depravity, whatever you want to, you know, put with, they think it's that kind of thing and that alone. Man's natural depravity, the snapshot of it, if you will, the epitome of man's natural depravity, now listen to me, is not what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary School. The epitome of human depravity is man's hatred and rejection of the truth of God Almighty. All these other things, like things of Sandy Hook, child molestation, whatever you want to name, flow from that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and just this one verse. But the natural man. Now, of course, all of us are natural men. None of us are superhuman men or women, right? I mean, this here is not talking about you have regular men and then, you know, natural men, regular men, then you have supermen. That's not, we're not talking about that. The natural man is this, man as he is born in Adam. And you know that. I don't have to go into that. But the natural man, what? Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
For. Now, notice the statement is the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, but then we're given what? A reason.
Yes, sir.
For. What? They are foolishness unto him. This is why when you try to speak to someone the truth of the things of Jesus Christ, because that's the things of the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
That's the context. You look at it.
Yes, sir.
The person and work of Jesus Christ is the primary message of the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
And what? The natural man doesn't receive it. Why? Because they are what? Foolishness unto him. That's why when you try to speak to someone about the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ, they look at you as though you are some kind of alien from another planet.
You're right.
Now, just hold that thought a second. And let me say, make this next statement. And I'll qualify the statement so there, hopefully there's no misunderstanding. But that's not always necessarily been so. There was a time, even in this country, when the truth of God was at least objectively known.
Yes, sir.
Okay? It was at least objectively known.
Yeah.
It was preached from the pulpits of at least many of the churches. I won't say most. I don't know how many, David. But it was at least the truth, this truth, the truth of God's word was proclaimed from many of the pulpits of even this country.
Yes, sir.
Now,
they
are minuscule
compared
to the plethora of the error that is being preached from most, now I will say that now, most of the pulpits in America today. In other words, and I've kind of jumped ahead, but I'll give you the reason for that. Because there is a scriptural reason for that as well. So let me go back now. We live in a time in which the truth is not only beyond the grasp of men because of natural depravity. In other words, look at this verse. As we are by nature, we don't not only receive the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto us. And I have to put myself there. By nature, that's the way I was.
Yeah, you're right.
That's the way my flesh still is, but I've already dealt with that. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, but that's not all.
Exactly.
Neither.
Yeah.
You see it? Here's point B.
Exactly.
Right? Here's point A of why he doesn't receive them. Right? He doesn't receive them. That's what the book says. If somebody doesn't agree with that, they're wrong.
Exactly.
If someone teaches different than that, Mason, they're a liar. They're not an untruth teller, they're a liar.
Exactly.
But there's a reason for the natural man not receiving the things of the Spirit of God. And the reason number one is they are foolishness unto him. But it's not only that. Neither can he know them. Because they, that is these spiritual things, these things of the Spirit of God, are what? Spiritually understood, comprehended, discerned. And I will add, not to the truth of Scripture, but to this passage, they cannot be even loved or believed apart from a work of God's sovereign free grace. So again, we live in a time in which truth is not only beyond the grasp of men because of natural depravity, and that natural depravity is not heightened in our immorality, in all the immorality, no, it's heightened, it's epitomized in our refusal, our refusal to believe the truth of God as it is this clearly written in the Word of God. But as I said, not only because of that, but it's beyond the grasp of men because of satanic influence. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 now. Now think about it. What I'm trying to do this morning is establish what we are by nature.
Yes.
Okay? And why it takes for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Not just placed in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
You see that? Now, I have to say that now.
Yeah.
Not just placed in Christ. That would certainly, I believe, be true.
Yeah.
We could say that, but I'm not just placed in Christ. I have to be created in Christ Jesus. Something totally new, something totally different, Joe, had to be created by God for me to discern spiritual truth.
Amen.
God did not work on my old self.
Exactly.
God did not work on me as I was in Adam to help me discern the truth. God had to create something totally different, and it's called something what? Spiritual.
Yes, sir.
But not only is that a problem, but we by nature are also under satanic influence. Now that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And just to get right to the point, and for the sake of time, but if our gospel be hid, now is the gospel hid? Yes, it is. It's hid.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to who? Them that are lost.
Amen.
Now let's stop for a moment. It doesn't say them that are reprobate.
No, it doesn't.
Does it?
You're right.
That would certainly be true. But that's not the point. The apostle is moved by the Spirit of God to stay. To them that are lost. Now, at one time, I was what?
Lost.
Amen.
At
one time, this very gospel was hid to who? Even me.
Amen. That's it.
And even you.
Amen.
It's hid to them that are who? Lost. So therefore, not only do I have the strike of natural depravity against me,
yeah.
I hate the truth. That's what it boils down to.
Yep.
I hate the truth. I don't want it. Yep. Won't have it. Can't know it. It's so foolish. It's so foolish to me, Mason. I won't have it.
No.
The truth of God is like the Easter bunny to most folk.
Hell yeah.
You believe it when you're young till you get old enough to know better.
Yeah.
Exactly. Huh? And that's the way people are. You can tell little kids, oh, they'll believe in God right off the bat, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But you let them grow up a little bit. Let them get about 4 or 5. So you thought I was going to say 17 or 18, didn't you? Let them get about 4 or 5, maybe not even that old. And what happens? Natural depravity begins to manifest itself in no uncertain terms. And it's manifest in this. A parent gives a command to a child, don't do this. And what does the child do? Rebel. No. Throw a little fit, throw a little hissy. Huh? That's what it is. You know what hissy is? Hissy is a manifestation of our depravity. But not only are we naturally depraved, we're blinded by Satan to the very gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost. That lets me know this. You've got to be first saved before you're going to know what the gospel is.
That's right.
You don't know what the gospel is, then get saved. You got to be saved to know what the gospel is.
Yes, exactly.
Because as long as you're lost, it's hid to you.
Amen.
In whom? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of the reprobate. Is that what it says?
No.
Has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, by nature, I got two strikes against me. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not only am I naturally depraved, so much so that I cannot know the truth of God.
Exactly.
I can't discern it. It has to be spiritually discerned. In other words, Ellen, it's an impossibility for me by nature to discern truth. And then on top of that, Satan has me blinded.
Yep.
Well, why does a blind man need more blindness?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? But you remember what our Lord said. Mm-hmm. If the blind lead the blind,
yep,
they both fall in the ditch. And what Satan does is not only am I naturally blinded to the truth, but Satan, how does Satan blind? This blinding is different now.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not natural blindness. We already have that by nature.
Exactly.
This is the blindness of a false light.
Yeah.
That's the blinding Satan does. Yeah. Satan doesn't blind by taking away my ability to see. I ain't got none.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? But Satan and his ministers transformed themselves into angels of what?
Yeah.
Light.
Mm-hmm.
But that light blinds.
Yeah.
Because Satan will want you looking to and for anything other than the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Even if it's your good works.
Yeah.
He'll want to blind you to Christ and cause you to see them rather than him. You didn't think that's what a good works message is going to start out like, did you? Yeah, I bet you did too. Most people wouldn't. But what we preach not ourselves. And boy, isn't that different than today.
Exactly.
And let me stop and say this one more time. There are people who actually think, well, you know, who are you to be up here and preach this? I'm nobody. That's the whole point. Preaching me. I'm not preaching Joe. I'm not preaching Earl Cochran. I'm not preaching any man other than the man, Christ Jesus.
Sorry.
That's the message. So, we live in a time in which truth is not only beyond the grasp of men because of natural depravity, but it's beyond the grasp of men because of satanic influence.
Yes, sir.
But there's not only two strikes, there's three.
That's right.
And I know I didn't entitle Paul, don't you write down three strikes and you're out. Because that ain't what this is. Because the problem is one strike and you're out.
Exactly.
That's the problem. Natural depravity is enough.
Exactly.
It's enough.
Yes, sir.
Because here's the third one though. But truth is beyond the grasp of men because of the apostasy. The apostasy. Now I know good works is probably not the best place to add in an eschatology message or phrase or thought. But let me tell you something. Truth, there's this third strike. Truth is beyond the grasp of men because of the apostasy. People don't even want truth said now.
Exactly. Right.
We were just talking about that. Yeah. That's no coincidence that subject came up. Let me illustrate this by what we were talking about. You can't even go. Now, I'm sure there might be some out there, because I've not been to them all. But everyone I've been to, I know this is true of. You cannot go. There's not been one that I've been to, a so-called Christian bookstore, where you can find a whole section of books on free sovereign grace. You can't find it.
Yeah.
It's not there.
Yeah.
They're just not there. David, they don't even have the expository writings of Donald Gray Barnhouse anymore on the shelves. You have to actually ask for them and order them. Most of them running these stores don't even know who they are. These people are. Arthur W. Paint, never heard of him.
Yeah, that's right.
Mention sovereignty and they run to John Hagee as though he preaches sovereignty. Y'all sitting there laughing like that's funny. Most people's idea of sovereignty comes from men like that. He don't know the sovereign God.
Amen.
He doesn't know the sovereign God. And let me tell you something. Walter Pendleton doesn't know the sovereign God apart from the sovereign grace of God. Because I'm no better than he is by nature. I'm just like he is. I used to be just like he was. But here's the third one. Truth is beyond the grasp of men. They can't even objectively get to it anymore unless you specifically ask for it. Do you know that? I mean, it's, like I said, that's just a, and to me it's so, that's so profound. When you go to a Christian bookstore, you ought to at least get the other side of the story.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
This thing has been a battle from day one. Cain and Abel fought over this.
Yes.
Or I rather should say, Cain fought against Abel because of this. This battle's been raging from the beginning. But yet, because of the apostasy. I know most people, they don't even know what that word means. It's just a theological sounding word.
Yeah.
But because of the apostasy. Here's the apostasy. Here's what apostasy is. It is the abandoning of the truth by those who once professed to believe it or proclaim it or both.
Yes,
that's apostasy. Let me tell you something. There's some of us here that has brothers, sisters, moms, dads, cousins, uncles, or whatever that are apostates. And that's what they are.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
And it's time we started conducting ourselves like that's what they are.
Right.
Rather than playing games. Mm-hmm. They once professed the truth and they abandoned the truth. You know what the scripture calls that? Apostasy. It's called, it's translated in the King James Version, to fall away. That's the way it's never translated apostasy. That's more of a now, today word, but it's still the word they use, Joe, in the KJV is to fall away.
Exactly.
Now let's look at that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's the third strike. This is the third strike. Now look at it. 2 Thessalonians 2, and for the sake of time, just verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come what? And when it says A, it's not A as some general thing, because A is not in the Greek language even.
Yeah.
You would then, you won't use A. It's not A, it would be the.
Yeah.
But here it is. That day shall not come. Now, of course, that's what? The day of the Lord. That's when judgment will begin to fall. Will not come, what? Except there come, what? A falling away first. Now, that's all I want to deal with this morning.
Yeah.
Because also, and the man of sin shall be revealed.
Yeah.
That'll happen too. But the apostasy will happen even before the man of sin is revealed.
Oh, yes, sir.
The man of sin hadn't been revealed yet. All these people out here that can tell you who they know who the Antichrist is, they don't know.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, even if they guessed who he was, it would be a guess and it would be a lucky guess.
Exactly.
They don't know because he has a time to be revealed. But I'll tell you what, the apostasy has taken place.
Yeah. Yeah.
The apostasy. That's not something we're waiting on. It's already happened. Now, I have some opinions on that, but we won't get into those this morning. Now remember, except there come what? The apostasy first. What's that apostasy? Apostasy is not some drunk out here rebelling against the truth of God. Apostasy is not some fornicator out here not wanting to straighten up and live right.
Exactly.
Apostasy is not some child rapist.
That's right.
No, apostasy is saying, here's the truth, and saying the truth, and even confessing the truth, and then turning from that truth. That is apostasy. And even in our small group, we have seen apostates.
Right.
Individuals who have apostatized from the truth of God.
Yes, sir.
Well, who are you? I'm nobody, but this book is true.
Amen.
Now let's look. 1 Timothy. Look at what Paul told Timothy about it. Now look. And what I want to point out now is not the apostasy is a reality of Scripture. It was prophesied, Joe, that it would come.
Yes, sir.
Right? But now look what Paul says, 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh what's that next word? Expressly. That in the latter times, some should what? Not believe the truth. Is that what it says? No. Now, that's been true all down through time. And certainly it's been true of individuals and maybe small groups of individuals all down through time that some have professed the truth and then turned from it. But here we're talking about a wholesale falling away. A wholesale turning away from the truth. And here's the way he puts it. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall what? Depart from the faith. That's the apostasy.
Yes, sir.
Now, if it says, the Spirit expressly says it, then it's going to be somewhere said.
Yeah.
Right? That it would happen.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, before we go back and look at where the Spirit expressly said this would happen, let me say this. Because there are some who will say, well, but all that Antichrist stuff and apostasy stuff, that's probably all still future. Well, remember what John said in John 2, verse 18 and 19. You've heard that Antichrist shall come.
Yeah.
John never, contrary to what many want to argue there, John never argues against the fact that Antichrist shall come.
No.
He said, you've heard that Antichrist shall come, but even now is Antichrist already in the world. An Antichrist, again, is not the drunk, not the fornicator. These are people who have turned from those things, who turn away from even those things and hold to Scripture, hold to even truth, and then they what? Depart from that truth. John said, and here's the way John put it, they went out where? From us. No, not us. But John and his group, right? They went out from us. Why? Why? Because they were not of us.
Amen.
For if they had been of us, as Henry Mahan once said, they would have hung around.
That's right.
That's just the way it is.
Yes, sir.
A person departs from the faith. They don't backslide. No. Oh, they're backslidden. No, they're apostates. That's what the book says. Because John, let's read it. Because it ain't Walter's opinion. It's what John said by the Spirit of God. 1 John 2, look at it, verse 18 and 19. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And look, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Isn't that what he says? I believe him, not my opinion about it. The reason people's even left this group and departed from the faith is because they're apostates, not because they just slipped up and failed. If they depart from the faith, they're an apostate.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. But they went out that they might be made manifest. Now notice it doesn't say so they might manifest.
No.
God is showing them for what they really are. What is that? Apostates.
Yes, sir.
Now turn back to Daniel chapter 11. And we're going to read just a little bit of this. Well, as Paul says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. Now, you're going to have to bear with me a minute because I've got to find Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel's right before Hosea. Does that help you any? It don't help me any when somebody says that. How you left, turn back to the front and find out where it's at. Daniel chapter 11. Preacher ain't supposed to be like that, is he? Daniel 11 verse 30. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Who is this person? We won't go into it yet. This person that this is Daniel's talking about. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolate. And even our Lord in Matthew was recorded of warning against that.
Yes, sir.
And don't be like these people who say actually Christ was talking about himself. That try to say he was the one that will take away the daily sacrifice. He did take away the daily sacrifice. But that's not who Daniel's talking about.
Exactly.
Because here is an abomination that makes desolate.
Yes, sir.
And such as do wickedly, what? Now most people, again, it's all this is against what?
Yeah.
The covenant.
Exactly.
Now, it's no need for me to even go into arguing. The one point is, they're not against morality necessarily, are they?
Oh, no.
It's not they're for immorality. They're against God Almighty's truth. And I'm simplifying it, yes, but that's the point. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet, what's going to happen to them?
Yeah.
Now, this is not what we generally think of as a happy ending, yeah. Is it? But it's truth. And they shall fall by the sword,
yes, sir.
By the flame, and by captivity, and by spoil for a long time.
Yeah.
Many days, many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white even in the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will. Now he's talking about a particular person.
Yep.
And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against who? Against the God of gods.
Amen.
Joe, this person will be an iconoclast.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be against idolatry.
Oh yeah.
But he also will be a promoter of idolatry.
Exactly.
Because he will seek to turn men away from the God of gods and turn them to himself. And you see, according to Paul in 2 Thessalonians, this man's way is prepared by what? The apostasy. Right? This day shall not come except there come in a falling away first. That's the first thing. And the man of sin be revealed. Now we're talking about the man of sin here being revealed. But what's going to happen first? The apostasy happens first. And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god. Now, right there is plainly said, his problem ain't with immorality. Well, he ain't worried about a woman. Kind of reminds me of what Jim McLaurity said about us and our depravity. Look back at Adam. Adam sinned against God, a sin that plunged the whole human race into ruin. And he only had one prohibition.
Exactly.
As Jim McLaurity, he didn't have other women to mess with. Did he?
Right.
There wasn't another woman David to even look after.
Exactly.
There wasn't no bars to go to, was there? There wasn't no X-rated movies to watch. I started to say there wasn't no tobacco to smoke, but maybe there was some of that. I don't know. No, I'm being facetious now. There wasn't no liquor stores to go to, was there? There was nobody to fornicate with. Wasn't nobody to steal from. Except God. Except God. And yet we today think that we can do any better than he did in that upright state. And yet that's what people teach, don't they? Well, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can't do it. You ain't got no boots, let alone no straps to pull on.
Exactly.
We don't got it. The whole point is this. There was the apostasy. You don't have to wait. Look around you.
Yeah.
I mentioned this to Joe and Mason. One representative or senator, whatever it was, when that rape happened, that one senator mentioned the absolute sovereign predestination of God of all things, even concerning rape. And he was forced, and I believe it was okay with him to do it. He backtracked like a confused dog. But you think about it, when that man stood up and declared the absolute sovereignty of God, two things happened. He started to backtrack. And the whole world rose up in uproar against him. But you know what they was really hating? God and his absoluteness. That's what they hated. And let me tell you something. You can't find God's truth out there even today like you did 100 years ago. That's because of what? The apostasy. You see, truth is not, man is not just subjectively unable to get truth. You can't even hardly objectively get to truth today. Yeah. Can you? I would be willing to bet someone $1,000 that the greatest majority, probably, I'm not going, over 50%, well over, probably 60, 70% of the churches you go to today do not declare the absolute sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven and earth, the one that confronted Nebuchadnezzar and bowed him down in the dirt. They don't declare this God.
Exactly.
Why? Because of the apostasy. But let us never forget that the apostasy consists not of some entities. It consists of human beings collectively, willingly, and knowingly abandoning the truth of God.
Amen.
The Arminians out here that always believe Arminians, they're not the apostates.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you know that? They're not the apostates. The apostates are people who profess the truth and then turn from it. That's an apostate.
Yes, sir.
In other words, not only is man incapable of knowing truth, and on top of that, being blinded by Satan, but on top of that, that which professing Christian, that which people call it Christendom, you know, all of us together that believe in the Bible, and that's fine, it's a fine word, but on top of that. That which is preached in professing Christendom, they distort, they wrest, and they interpret Scripture.
Yes, sir.
Do you know most people think that's what the preacher is supposed to do, is interpret the Scripture?
Oh, yeah.
And when you tell them what the Scripture says, they'll say, that's your interpretation. Well, because we're so used to that today.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. No, sir. We don't need interpretation. We need proclamation.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not up here trying to interpret to you God's word. I'm trying to tell you this is what the word says.
Exactly.
And that's what it is. Deal with it.
Amen.
Deal with it. We don't need interpretation. We need proclamation.
Yeah.
We don't need debate. Mm-hmm. I'm not up here trying to argue the truth. I'm trying to what? We don't need debate. We need people to declare it,
yes.
Not debate it. Think about it. We don't need Scripture proved.
No.
We don't need Scripture proved. We need Holy Spirit regeneration and gospel conversion.
Yes, sir.
That's what it takes.
Yes, sir.
That's what it takes. John chapter 3, verse 3, our Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Being born again must come first before you even have eyes.
Exactly.
That can see truth.
Amen.
And people can argue all day long, that's just the way it is, and I don't care if it's a second or if it's 10 years, it still has to happen before.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. You got to be born again first before you can see.
Yeah.
Because unless you're born again, you can't see.
Amen.
Then on top of not being able to see, then you got Satan blinding you.
Exactly.
Then on top of that, you've got all of humanity, save just a few, that are concertedly engaged against the truth of God. And you've got even some that's been in the truth that then have abandoned the truth and turn against it. And they ain't nothing like your enemy finding a friend from a previous friend of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Now you think about what I just said. They ain't nothing like your enemy finding a friend in a person who used to be your friend.
Right.
They love that more than anything else. They love it when people get mad at us and leave here.
Yeah.
You know that? They love it. They'll eat that up. Well, you can expect that, wouldn't you? Huh? But I'll tell you what, you go dig around in their closets. They got people that leave them too.
Yeah.
The whole problem is this, leaving the truth.
Exactly.
And let me say this again. Let's not play games with people or souls or anything. Apostasy is apostasy is apostasy.
Amen.
It doesn't matter whether some person out there I don't know, and really, Mason, they don't affect my life one way or another, but sometimes apostates arise up within your own family.
You're right.
And we've got to decry them just like we would the other guy. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if it's your brother, your sister, your mommy, your daddy, or your cousin. It doesn't matter. Apostasy is apostasy.
Exactly.
Now, I'm talking about, as the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter days some shall what? Depart from the faith. I'm not talking about a believer falling.
No.
It's about people falling away.
Yeah.
People abandoning the truth of God. And, of course, our Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. First, I said we need Holy Spirit regeneration. That's what Christ talked about when he said, except a man be born again, he can't see. Before you can even see, hear, or perceive, God Almighty's got to give you, he's got to father you, he's got to give you spiritual life.
Yeah.
But it's even more than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to what the Apostle Paul says, how he puts it. And I'll try to hurry here. First, I'm in 2 Corinthians. I knew that didn't look right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Listen, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. But to us which what? Are saved. It is the power of God. Notice what has to happen. Before the preaching of Christ is the power of God, unto you, what do you have to be first?
Exactly.
Saved. Salvation begins before you ever even understand the preaching of the cross.
Amen.
It's got to happen so you can understand the preaching of the cross.
Amen.
And not only does your natural depravity have to be overcome, but satanic influence has to be overcome, and all that you hear, that you are bombarded with daily in your life, has from outside, has to be overcome.
Yes, sir.
Because everything out there, if it's not based upon in here, this is against God.
Amen.
It's against God. Now, let me go back. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now, here I say this to Trent, anybody else, some of these younger folk, or whether you're older, you go to college, most of what you're going to hear are lies.
Yeah.
Now, if they teach you physical and historical facts, and they teach you arithmetic and English and those things, that's all well and good. But when they then go beyond anything other than that, they are lying to you. Because they're not out here, no, not usually, Joe, they are. If they tell the truth, it's by mistake. It's because
exactly.
The Spirit of God makes them to do it, even against what they're wanting to.
That's true.
They lie.
Yeah.
This world is not for God. Only God's people are for God.
Exactly.
Period.
That's it.
For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew God. It pleased God by the foolishness of what?
Yeah.
Preaching. Not debate.
Exactly.
Not interpretation. Not trying to prove whether this is true or not. Just preach it. God Almighty will make sure it does its work.
Amen.
Isn't that what that says?
Yes, sir.
Just preach it. For instance, think about this, and I'll have to start there, Lord willing, next time. Here is error versus truth in its simplest form. Most people, when they think about someone being saved, what do they think about? They think about someone turning from immorality and turning to morality, and it always has Jesus alongside of it. Right? They love passages like this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I can read this passage. Boy, they just love it. Religious people do. This apostates don't mind this. So when I talk about apostate, I'm not talking about a person who stumbles and falls and commits a sin. Every one of us does that.
Yes, sir.
Every one of us does that far more than what we ought to or even want to.
Yeah.
But we do that. I'm talking about someone abandoning the truth of God Almighty.
Yeah.
Not someone falling into some immoral thing, Joe. No. Now, where was it? What? 1 Corinthians 6, look at it. Verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That is true, period.
Yes, sir.
Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. And again, that's not exhaustive.
Exactly.
He's just starting a list, and the Spirit probably knew he'd just get tired. He couldn't last long enough to write everything, all of it, against us.
Yeah.
And what shall inherit the kingdom of God? And such were some of you.
Yes, sir.
Now, what most people say is, well, look at it right. Boy, I used to be a drunk, but now I'm not. And I gave my heart to the Lord. Does that mean they're saved? No, David, you can do that at an AA meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I used to be a fornicator. Now they don't say it. I used to be a rounder.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a rounder. I'm a rounder. Mm-hmm. But God straightened me up. Boy, God got me off of drugs. Well, my family was all to pieces. And I gave my heart to the Lord, and my family's all back together now. That actually ain't what Christ said. Christ said, usually those that he brings to himself finds their family members against them. He came to split them up.
Yeah.
That's not what they teach you in marriage counseling class, is it?
Exactly.
Now, come on, is it?
No.
Can you see me being a marriage counselor? I'm serious. I ain't kidding with you. Can you see me being a marriage ain't the ultimate goal.
Exactly.
It's falling down in faith and repentance before Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. And let me tell you, that's where it's got to continue. And notice what it says. Everybody's, boy, oh yeah, I used to be this. Now I'm not. Let me tell you, that's all true. But let me tell you, you can cease to be every one of these things and still miss Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
You can get rid of all of it. There are people, Joe, that come up with the mental wherewithal to say, I'm done with that thing. I'm done with that immorality or this immorality, right? I'm done with that corruption or this corruption, and I'm putting it away for the good of my soul. Yeah. Won't do you a lick of good apart from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Apart from Jesus Christ. And sadly, this is what our Lord said. He illustrated it this way. He said, he that is not with me is against me. Mm-hmm. Basically, the person that's against me scattereth abroad. And immediately he launched into this illustration. There's demons out there in the world, he says. I'm paraphrasing. There's demons out there in the world, and they're in a house.
Yeah.
And these demons leave this house. Mm-hmm. And they go out, they wander around.
Yeah.
And then they happen back along on this house, and they find this house, these are his words, empty, swept, mm-hmm. and garnished.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaned up.
Yes, sir.
The whole indication is it wasn't a real great house to start with, Joe.
Yeah.
But now it's all empty. Swept and what? Decorated. Garnished. It's all decorated up. And what happens? Does the demon say, oh, got to get away from that house? Huh? See, that's what people think. You clean up, and the devil's got to leave you alone. That ain't what the Lord said. He said that demon comes back along, and he sees that house all empty, swept, and garnished. He don't come right in. He goes back and gets a whole gob of his buddies.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to belittle that. He says he goes back and gets more demons. And they all come into the man's to the house. And what did he say? He didn't say the house. He said, then the man's second state is worse than his first state.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what you do good, and put that in quotes.
Yeah.
If you do something good trying to gain God's favor, and it's outside of Jesus Christ, it'll damn you forever. Mm-hmm. It'll damn you forever. Because there is nothing truly good. Unless it comes from a creation in Christ Jesus unto good works. You can't work to get it. You only can work because you got it.
Amen.
And that may be simplistic, but Mason, that's the truth. That's the truth. Father, as we continue here, we pray that we might rejoice in these things. fellowship in these things. They might be a strength, a sense of a means of strength to us, Lord, and all of the our own depravity that steals with us in the flesh. And Lord, that natural blindness that's with us, and then all of the error that surrounds us. Lord, may you protect us in Christ's name. Amen.